Double dice.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Double Dose. Taylor, how are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's been happening in your world?
I actually got told something in an Uber this morning.
What?
That I forgot about until right now. I remember telling her that I was going to tell you. The Uber driver randomly said to me, have you heard of a pear ring?
What's that?
Pear as in the fruit, P-E-A-R, ring. And I was like, no. And she's like, oh, it's this little silicon ring that's green and it is the world's largest social experiment and single people wear it and they're going to start having pear ring parties and all of these events for people who have a pear ring because they're single.
Well, I need to get one.
I know. That's why I'm noted. Mental like, note. I'm telling Annie.
That's so funny. Okay. I'm going to Google pear ring.
Maybe
after
I should
this.
Buy you one.
Yeah. My birthday soon.
Yeah. So it's just this... I did Google it. I just Googled pear ring and it came up the top link saying the world's largest social experiment.
Wow.
So I'm going to get you involved.
Get me involved. We should talk about it on the podcast. Mm. Yeah.
And see how you go. Yeah. I have no idea how it works. She's just like, it's for single. I think she assumed I was single. I don't know why.
Why?
She also said something a bit weird to me about, well, not, she didn't say anything. That's what was weird.
What'd she say?
She asked what we did for work and I told her.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, tell me about the podcast. How many followers have you got? Who listens? She's like, how many Instagram followers do you have? And I was like, oh, between us, maybe we have 100K if you put it together. She's like, how do you have so many? And I told her what we do. And then she didn't want to talk to me for the rest of the ride.
Oh, shit. Judgmental bitch.
Yeah. But before that, she did tell me about the pear ring.
Okay. Well, good to know. Yeah. I'm appreciative of her.
That's my update for the week.
I love that. I bought a house.
Yay.
I'm so excited. My settlement is in like 4 days, I think.
So soon.
I know.
I can't wait to see.
I know. I'm doing a little housewarming and you're coming.
I'll buy you a pair ring.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. I've got a few weeks to get a pair ring.
And get me a boyfriend if you can.
So I'll bring the ring and the boyfriend.
Yeah.
So you be her boyfriend, but she's also single.
Yeah, exactly. But and I'm doing reno soon. I'm excited for that. I'm going to do my own renovations. And keep in mind, I've never renovated anything in my life and I have no idea what I'm doing.
It will be good.
But it'll be fun.
That's what I want to do when I ever decide to buy a place. I do all the gardens. I'm going to paint everything. I'm just going to do whatever I want.
You should come help me.
Mm. Maybe I should. I don't have a hobby at the moment.
Well,
so
that can be your hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But you're doing it for free.
That's okay.
Do you have a crazy story?
I do. This happened when I was in Bali for my birthday this year. On the last day, we were flying out. So when you fly home from Bali, all the flights are at nighttime, or most of them, unless you pay thousands more dollars. Mm-hmm. So I was on the way to the airport and the following day they had their Nyepi festival, which is when all of the bad spirits come to town and it's like their offering to the bad spirits and then they don't come back for the rest of the year.
Right.
So that was the following day. But little did we know but that the day before at midday they shut down all of the ATMs.
Why?
Because I think it's got something to do with like they don't like spending a lot of money in gambling and cash and all this stuff. Like they're a very religious country. So we couldn't get any money out. And for some reason I had no money sitting in my Gojek account and my bank card wasn't working.
No.
So we're trying to get a Gojek from, we were up in Seminyak, I think, down to the airport.
Yeah.
And the guy accepted the trip before I realized that I had no money and we had no cash and I couldn't get cash out because all the ATMs were literally just a black screen.
Oh, my God.
So I was driving around Bali for about 2 hours with this guy who spoke little English. We're trying to pay him. We had absolutely no money. He took us to like maybe 5 or 6 places. I couldn't get cash out. And I was thinking, this is it. He's going to lock the doors and I'm not making it home.
Oh, my God.
Because he thinks I'm taking him for a free ride.
And especially if you'd wasted that much time driving around as well.
I was like an anxious mess, but trying not to show him that I was anxious because I was like, oh, it's okay. I've got money. Like I just need a way to transfer it to you. And he wasn't understanding.
Yeah.
He ended up using some dodgy website. I really hope he got the money because he just trusted us. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. Oh. At the 2 hour mark, he just let us out at the airport.
Yeah. And then what, you did the transfer on some
dodgy website. And it's like, it will be there in 5 days. I'm like, how am I going to contact this man in Bali to check that he's got the money?
At least you did that.
Yeah.
Like, Oh.
So if you're traveling to Bali in March, just be careful because they have a massive festival. Everything closes down for the whole day.
That's crazy. It's good to know.
Even the airport closes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So if we missed that flight, which our flight was at 11 p.m., literally after midnight, there was no flights out that whole next day.
Wow. That would have been bad.
It was very anxious.
Oh my God. I've got anxiety now.
What's your story?
Okay. So not that crazy. And I think you're going to win. But I thought that this was kind of funny and I really enjoyed it. I got sent my first fan art not that long ago, like recently. Oh. And I've never had fan art before because, like, obviously, who am I? Like, no one cares. But this guy, he like put together this fan art of me. I can't show it because it's explicit.
Okay.
But it was a picture of me and then it was like all these men superimposed with their dicks out. And I laughed so much, but I loved it. I was like, and I messaged him. I was like, thanks so much. I really love this. And he keeps sending them to me.
Aww.
And I love it. And he's so appreciative that I responded to him because, you know, I always say on my stories, I don't reply to people. But I'm like, but if you send me fan art, I'll respond.
I'm going to respond. Yeah. And maybe get it framed in the new house.
Perfect. Good idea.
He would love that.
He would love that.
Although I get like, imagine someone sitting there and he's like placing the penises.
I know. That's a lot of work. That's what I thought about. I was like, he's put so much effort into this. Like, he deserves a response.
You need to frame one.
Yeah, I think I will.
You have to. I think you've shown me one.
I think so. There's been more.
I need to see the others.
Yeah. I can't post them on my Instagram story and my close friends because I'm scared that it'll get flagged. Yeah.
I don't have any fan art.
Oh, I'll send you some.
Yeah. Can I just have yours?
Yeah. All right, that's my story.
Well, yeah, sorry, Annie, I think you lost this one. Yeah, it was more just like a sort of lovely story.
It was a lovely
from
story.
From a fan. So, yeah, no, you've lost.
Okay, cool. Okay, here we go. Double dose time. Give me some support here, Taylor. Jesus.
I just know the pain you're about to go through.
Ugh.
Your eyeshadow Yucky. Looks really pretty.
Thanks.
When you close your eyes in pain.
Yeah.
Okay, Annie, it's time to get into the sealed section. My favorite part. We are going to talk about reproductive health, periods, all of the juicy stuff.
This is a good topic.
Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about.
We
on
do.
This.
Do you want to start with your period story?
Yeah, okay. I'll start with mine because I feel like mine's a little bit more like generic.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had pretty painful periods since I first got my period when I was like 12. I actually remember the first time I got my period, I knew I was getting my period because of how intense the pain was. And I remember people telling you, you know, you get period pains, whatever.
Yeah.
I basically had periods from like 12 to 19 and then I went on the pill at age 19. And I was on the pill for, I think, 6 years. And then last year I was like, oh, you know, I've been on the pill for a long time. I'm all into like natural like health and stuff. I want to come off the pill and just like have normal periods and stuff. So I did. For the next 6 months, every period I had got progressively worse. Mm-hmm. And it by like probably October last year, it got to the point where like I would be in bed for a week and like just writhing in pain, like crying hysterically on the phone to my mom being like, what do I do? And she's like, go to hospital. I'm like, I'm not going to the hospital because they won't do anything because they never do. I've had so many bad experiences with that. And then I went to the doctor and I got a bunch of scans done. And at first they told me I had a bicorneate uterus, which is when your uterus is shaped like a heart. So it's almost like it can be, mine's not that severe. A severe one would be like you've got sort of like almost two uteruses. Mm-hmm. But mine's like just a little bit. And I was like, weird that that would cause pain, but whatever. And then they referred me to a specialist anyway, who was like, you probably have endometriosis. It's unlikely that it would be the bicornate uterus causing this. And I was like, no, I don't have endometriosis. There's no way. Like, you know, I was in a bit of denial. Yeah. I didn't want to have it. And then he was like, well, do you want to do the laparoscopy and we can see? And I was like, yeah, whatever. So we did it. And sure enough, I have endometriosis. They burned it out or whatever they do to it. And then I'm back on the pill. And it's kind of annoying because I really do want to have like, I want to live my life naturally. I don't want to have to be taking tablets. I feel like it's not right to be messing with your hormones and stuff. Yeah. And being on the pill really like lowers my sex drive and I don't like it.
You almost get made to feel like that's your only option.
Yeah. And that's how I feel right now. I feel really like backed into a corner.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like I'm going to start seeing a naturopath and I want to come off the pill probably next year because I'm dealing with all my gut issues at the moment and really try and, I guess, heal my endo naturally or deal with it naturally because I've heard that that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm excited for the journey, but yeah, for now I just have to be on the pill and because I don't want to go through summer being in pain.
Yeah, and sort out your gut and then reassess.
Yeah, so that's my experience with endo, I guess. But I think it's just interesting that, you know, back when I was 19, I went to the doctor and I said, oh, my periods come every 10 days. Like, what do I do? Oh, yeah. There's the pill.
Mm.
It wasn't, oh, we should research this and figure out what's wrong with you. It was like, let's just give her the pill and slap a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
And I hate that so much.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
I don't like it either.
No. Mm. Well, you've got quite a bit of stories to tell on the...
I do. I feel like I've completed my journey, which hopefully I can help you with next year. So I got my first period when I was 14, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of late.
Yeah.
I was very, very athletic, very skinny. So I sort of knew that I wasn't going to get it at 11, 12, 13. Got it at 14. I was actually babysitting my cousins and I was with my nan. Like she was just there with me for the night and we were hanging out and I was like, oh my God, I got it. And I'm her eldest granddaughter. And she was like crying. She was so happy. Got it. And then I didn't get it for 3 months.
Right.
And I look back now and I'm like, it's probably just because I was underweight and so active, completely normal was my first one. But my mum said, let's go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And I was on the pill at 14.
Right.
Until I was 23.
What? So they basically put you on the pill just because you didn't get your period for 3 months. That is so crazy and ridiculous.
I was on the pill for 9 years. I still had abnormal bleeding, still had bad pain, still had acne. I'd probably went through 4 or 5 different pills over that 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was just like, I have had enough.
Yeah.
And this was like 2.5 years ago now. So it was actually on my birthday. It would have been on my 23rd birthday. I was like, nope, no more.
Mm-hmm.
I started taking the JS Health hormone and PMS support vitamins as I was coming off it because I was so scared of breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't break out.
Wow.
And I'm not sure if it was because of them or just because I was finally like not putting hormones inside of my body.
Yeah.
Then as soon as I fell into more research and was like, oh, but the period you have on the pill is not actually a real period. Yeah. It completely stops your ovulation. All of this was so scary to me and I was just, there was no chance I was ever going back on it.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I had probably 18 months perfect on time periods. I got it 5 weeks after I stopped the pill. So I was really happy with that it came back so quickly. Yeah. Perfect on time. And then it started being a little bit more painful, a little bit heavier, and a couple of days off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I feel like something is not right. Mm-hmm. Something is going a bit wrong. And I didn't want to go back to mainstream like doctors.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't really have any other choice. So I just did a telehealth call with a GP and I was just like, I'm not going on the pill. I'm not taking anything. Mm-hmm. Please just give me a referral to a gynecologist. Yeah. And she luckily was like, cool, you seem to know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Go and book in. And then even with the gynecologist, I was like, something's not right. I'm not going on the pill.
Yeah.
She's like, let's do the ultrasound. And I had a little tumor.
What?
Yeah. So it was tiny. It was like 5 millimeters round tumor on my uterus. And the doctor was like, I can burn it off if you want, or you can try and fix it yourself.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you for giving me this opportunity because I really did want to fix it myself.
Yeah.
So I just did some research into it. So a fibroid tumor is basically from an imbalance in your hormones. That's all it is. So it's just like a little.
So it's not like something, is it something you can die from or like not?
No.
Okay.
It can grow and it can change in size. You can get multiple, but it can also just shed off once you balance your hormones.
Right.
So to sort of do that naturally, heaps of vitamin D, just like really, really good foods, lots of healthy fats,
mm-hmm.
which luckily I love eating like avocados and nuts and all that kind of stuff anyway. So just really cleaned up my diet. I'm like, I'm going to get rid of it. And then the next month I had the heaviest period ever and I'm like, I'm getting rid of it. And it's been perfect ever since.
Wow. Oh my God, you've given me so much hope.
So I just like adding one supplement.
Wow.
Got
what
rid
supplement
of a
was it?
Just vitamin D.
That was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Little tablets.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Got rid of it.
Oh my God. That's
amazing.
And
I knew Like, I feel like if it can come back, she's like, because you were on the pill for so long,
right,
your hormones might jump out of balance. It can also happen around 25 too.
Okay.
Apparently something shifts in your body. And so it might happen again, but now I'm like confident.
Yeah.
She's like, it was so small, you got rid of it.
Wow. That's so good.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was very scary the day I got told though.
Yeah, it would have been
that you have
a tumor, like what the hell?
But then I went home, did the research and you were like, basically okay, healed myself. And now it's back to perfect, except for that last month when I was messaging you and I was so stressed about nothing.
Yeah.
And was a few days late and that was it.
Yeah. No baby.
No baby. I was just stressing myself out. And then I feel like once I was one day late, I was stressing even more.
Yeah. And then you probably stressed yourself.
It was self-induced.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, just, yeah, track and just keep on top of those supplements. And
yeah. Well, I've heard, obviously, with the endometriosis, I've heard people healing PCOS from like what they eat and like supplements and stuff as well. I've just heard so many stories that you can really heal things naturally and that doctors sort of are like, no, you can't do that. You have to have this pill or that or whatever. And a lot of the times, I mean, I know with me, I'm on the pill. The pill is what has caused my candida overgrowth. So
really?
It's like, yeah, because I was looking at all the reasons why you can have candida and none of them resonated with me except for being on the contraceptive pill.
Yeah.
So I'm at a crossroads now because I'm like, okay, well, if I get rid of the candida, but I'm still taking the contraceptive pill, it's just going to come back.
Yeah.
Which is why I really want to get off the pill and just be able to do everything naturally. And, you know, I think having a naturopath or a holistic health coach to help you is the way to go with that.
And it's still, there's so much growth and so much learning. Like I've obviously, mine was such a small problem. I wasn't in pain. It was just a bit of irregularity. And I was able to fix that without seeing a naturopath. So I just imagine if I did, if something ever came up in the future, that would be the first thing I would go natural 100%.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like at a point now where like I really don't trust GPs.
No.
Every single health issue I've had, I've gone to a GP, they've made it worse. And then I've healed it naturally on my own accord and dealt with it myself.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's kind of scary, but unfortunately they do have an agenda and they do need to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
If pills don't exist, they don't have a job.
Yeah.
Because no one will go to them.
Exactly. Yeah, literally. What advice would you give to our listeners on reproductive health?
I think that the most important thing is to trust your gut. And if there is something wrong, just know that what you're being told by a GP or even sometimes your family is not always the best option for you.
Mm-hmm.
Things are changing and evolving so much, even from when we first got our periods to like what our daughters, how they're going to experience it. It's going to be so different. So I think just researching, being up to date and just knowing yourself, like that these medications didn't exist hundreds of years ago and these women had to survive and figure out ways to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. So we can do it naturally too.
I back that big time. Okay, Taylor, we're back with spicy sessions. This is a good one. We are talking about how to give a good BJ.
Yeah.
What advice would you give?
Most of my knowledge, I think, came from the Call Her Daddy podcast, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first education. Before that, I don't know what I was doing.
How, you said you were 14 when you listened to that. Is that right?
I don't, maybe older. I feel like it didn't exist.
Yeah, no,
then.
It didn't exist when we were 14.
I felt like I was too young to be learning.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first time I ever even thought about it.
I actually haven't heard of that episode. What did she suggest?
She has a whole method.
I want to hear it.
I don't remember the whole thing, but it's just about like licking from the bottom to the top and lots of spit. It's like one of her top listened episodes.
Wow. I'm going to give it a listen.
You should go and give it a listen. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I just feel like the more spit, the better.
Yeah. I think the more you search around the area, not search.
Go for an explore.
Yeah. No, but like, you know, with your tongue and stuff around the area, not just the penis, like you got to get everything and like, everything has sensation, like the balls and everything.
And my partner doesn't like ball play. No.
Really?
No.
What is it about it?
He just says, he's like, it's too risky.
It's too risky.
It's like they're too sensitive. I'm like, that's the point.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but if you just grab it wrong, I'm like, well,
how aggressive are you? No, yeah. I've heard also that like around the tip is really feels really good.
Extra love up there.
Yeah.
And just be careful with your teeth.
Oh, yeah. Watch the teeth.
I have big teeth, so I get worried.
I have a small mouth. And I have lip filler. So I have to plan when I can give BJs. Because if I've just had my lips done, there's no way.
You've got to schedule it 2 weeks after the appointment. Yes.
Or 2 weeks before.
My lips, sometimes when I get filler, I feel like it's rock solid around here. Yeah. But I think it plays to my advantage.
It probably would. Mm. Yeah.
Because I don't really get filled in the middle too much. It's always around the edges.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that's a tip to give me a good blowjob is to go and spend $400 on filler, but sometimes it can help.
I mean, it might help. Yeah. I think just like communication as well. Like it's okay to ask what they want.
Yeah.
If your goal is to like pleasure them, same as we've said for women, like men should ask us what we want to experience. I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And as much as you can go in with one method and say it works for every single guy, it could be different.
Everyone's different. It's like some women.
Example, my boyfriend.
Exactly. But yeah, it's like the same with women. Some women like oral sex and then some don't.
Mm.
It's just how it is.
I think you got to be into it as well.
Yeah, I think, yes, you have to love
Doing it.
Yeah.
They know if you don't want to be down there.
Yeah. They want enthusiasm and yeah.
Yeah.
To know that you're loving it.
Just be into it. Spit. You don't really need to have a plan, I think. Just go with it. Just have fun.
That's the biggest thing. Don't go in with like, I have to do this, like a checklist. Like just go have fun. See what happens.
Talk, look at them.
Yeah. Eye contact.
Eye contact.
Good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so joining us this week is our special guest, Maddie Mack. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you do OnlyFans?
Yes, I do.
How long have you been doing that for?
3 years now. Just over 3 years, yeah.
What made you take the plunge?
Honestly, it started as a joke. Like I was just like, yep, I was seeing all these people doing it and I was like, I may as well try it. Didn't really have the intention of like making a heap of money or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Just went for it.
Yeah, YOLO.
Yeah, YOLO. Pretty much. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about doing OnlyFans?
Oh. Honestly, do I have to give just one?
You can give a few.
Give a few.
I would say number one is like the freedom of time.
Yeah.
I feel like there's nothing else you can do that like gives you that sort of freedom. Just do what you want with your day. And probably my second favorite is like the relationships I've made. The friendships along the way and the opportunities and experiences I've had. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally back that.
Yeah.
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 I think like there's so many amazing girls in the industry.
100%. Like I've made, I don't want to say lifelong friends because it's been like 3 years, but like I would say they're going to be lifelong friends.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. So nice.
Yes.
Do you have any crazy stories from your OF? Like maybe crazy requests or crazy things that have happened on like a live or anything like that?
Honestly, not really. Not as wild as I know like you guys have some wild stories. Not really. Like I feel like most things are pretty tame. I mean like the weirdest is probably like a guy from my primary school like subscribing and was sort of like hinting at like asking for content in the primary school and I was like, what?
Like physically at the school?
Yeah. And like in Melbourne. And I was like, what? And then like he eventually told me like who it was and stuff. But that's nothing weird. Else like crazy really.
Do you have like have you ever had like a really weird request from someone like abnormal fetishes or anything like that?
Oh, okay, yeah. What? It's not like I don't know.
Yeah.
So there was this guy that like asked me to like be playing with myself, but he wanted me like pouting at the same time, like but like also sniffing my lip. Like
what?
Sniffing my upper lip. Yeah.
That's
super like it's not like gross or
it's not gross it's like, but yeah. It's like it's a bit it's like what
yeah
it's so
yeah.
specific too.
I know, right? I was like, am I reading this correctly? But yeah,
did you know like what the fetish was like? No. What was it about that
then? No idea.
I wonder.
No
idea. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that either.
Yeah.
What do you think the biggest misconception is about sex workers?
Oh, there's so many. Hey,
it's a bit of a loaded question.
Yeah. It is.
How much time we got? Honestly, probably that we're like dirty, unsafe, riddled with STDs.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Also probably just that we're like sex maniacs and that the way we present ourselves online is like who we are, mm-hmm. but it's like not.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Fully. Yeah. I think like we all have our, you know, internet personalities and then the 100%. Real us.
Yeah. I know I do.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
What are some negative experiences you've had with OnlyFans?
I could list off a lot with that too, but just like the environment of it, like getting backlash or like being judged or family members like not approving of it. The instability of like income, just like some weeks can be really high, some weeks can really be really low. You can't predict it.
Yeah.
And just I feel like the constant need to be like, if I'm having a bad day, I still have to show up online as like this personality. Yeah. And like it does take it out of you sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I'd say that they're the worst things.
I agree 100%. Yeah. On the friends and family, I'm curious, did you lose any friends or family when you started?
No.
That's luckily, good.
No. I kept it hidden from my family for like a while. And then once I said to myself, like, once I make 10 grand, I'll tell my mom. Mm-hmm. And then that came sooner than I thought, I guess. Like, I was like, okay, if that happens, it seems like a significant amount. Like, then I'll tell her. And I was like, oh, it happened. And then so I told her and she was like, she's always been supportive of me no matter what, but she was like still like upset, like she didn't believe me. And I was like, yeah. And then she sort of has like come around to it and yeah. Still 100% supportive of me like all the time. Love her to bits. That's for that. So good. Yeah.
Aww. I think it's just a bit of initial shock sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they're not as used to this online world as we are.
No, 100%. No. Yeah.
I remember when I first told my mum, like she was really shocked, but she found out because Channel 7 posted a news article about it. So I think she was more upset that the world knew what her daughter was doing and not her.
Yeah.
But it took her a couple of weeks and she came around.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like now I like tell my mum, I'll be like, oh, I hit this target. And she'll be like, oh my God, congrats.
Aww.
Yeah.
Love that. But supportive mums.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll change the tune a little bit. As a sex worker, I feel like there's a lot of pressure to be on birth control or be doing something about that. Are you on any birth control?
No, I'm not.
I'm not either.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'm, I guess, a bit of a natural health girly.
Me too.
Yeah, okay.
I used to be on the pill when I was younger, but then I ended up in hospital one time and they did this test on my liver and they're basically like, your liver is like going bad and the only thing they could put it down to was the pill.
Wow.
So then I came off the pill and I guess became educated on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And haven't been on contraceptives since. So in terms of like shooting, I mean, I don't know what you do, I guess, but I like heavily track my cycle.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
If I'm like ovulating, I won't shoot. And for the rest of the month, I use this little product called a diaphragm. Have you guys heard of it?
No. I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
What is it? So it's like this little cup and it like you put up inside you and it basically like cups your cervix and like stops the sperm from getting in.
That's cool.
Yeah. I feel like not a lot of people know about it. And it's reusable. Like it costs like $100. Where do you get it from? I literally got it from Amcal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so the chemist.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I've never heard of it.
No, I had literally like when I learned about it, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so hard to find. And I Googled it and it was like Amcal. And I was like, what? Oh, okay.
We should get told this.
Yeah.
Did you have to speak to a chemist?
No.
It's on the shelf.
Yeah.
Is it how? What?
Yeah.
I'm going to get one.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it hard to put in?
No. I mean, I also use like a menstrual cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like sponges if I'm on my period. So I'm used to sticking stuff up there. Yeah. But it's like really soft and flexible and thin. Like it's not like thick like a menstrual cup. It's like a super thin material and it has a little ridge in it to like stick your finger in to pull it out.
Right.
And people also put spermicide like inside the cup to like double proof it. But
wow. Can you still use that when you're ovulating and it's meant to be?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you just be extra safe. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I'm actually going to look into it as soon as I get home.
So you've recently been through a breakup.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So that was last year, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was with a guy for nearly 5 years and we lived in Melbourne together. We decided to make the move up to the Gold Coast. And a few months after being here, I got dumped.
Oh, rough.
Yeah, it was breakups. Rough. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Was probably like the lowest I've ever been, but was like, now looking back, it's like the biggest spark to like change my life sort of thing. Yeah.
we literally spoke about this on the last episode, like breakups and stuff. So this is like super relevant.
Yeah, okay.
How did you deal, like when you got broken up with, what was your process of like coming out the other end?
So I was like all alone. Like I didn't know anyone up here on the Gold Coast. I had no friends or anything. So like I had a workplace to go to every day where I was like talking to coworkers or anything. I was just alone in this house. No one, nothing. I was like, I got to do something.
Yeah.
I got all this free time, everything. So I just decided that I was going to make a change with my life and started doing this challenge called 75 Hard. And yeah, completely flipped my life around, sort of thing.
Wow.
So good.
Yeah. I've heard of 75 Hard.
Yeah.
I always thought to myself, I could never do something like that. But like after doing this cleanse that I'm on, I'm like, I could totally do it. Like it's all, you set your own limitations.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Everything's a mental game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. That's amazing. That's a really healthy way of dealing with a breakup, I feel.
Yeah. Just work on yourself. We talked about that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did OnlyFans have anything to do with the breakup?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
My partner, my ex-partner was always so supportive of me and helped me do everything. Love him to bits for that. So grateful for him providing a space for me to start this journey. But who knows, it could have been an underlying cause to it or like maybe something that he didn't say. But no, I don't think it was.
That's good that he was supportive.
Yeah, he was super supportive. Yeah.
Yeah. So we know from your socials that you have lost 20 kilograms, which is amazing. Well done.
Thank you.
What motivated you to do that?
I guess the breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So starting 75 Hard, it's basically, for anyone that doesn't know, it's like a challenge that you do for 75 days. You have to do these set tasks every day. If you mess up, you go back to day one.
Right.
And so the tasks are like 2 45-minute workouts a day. Right. One of them has to be outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Follow a diet, no cheat meals, no alcohol.
Yeah.
10 pages of nonfiction book every day,
wow.
A gallon of water, and a progress photo every day.
Yeah.
So I did that for like 21 days, failed, went back to day one, and then did the 75 days through.
Wow.
And that was like the kickstart of my health journey. I was like, oh my God, I love this world. I love changing. I love seeing progress. I felt so much better. And then I went straight into this challenge where I was like, I'm going to do 100,000 steps in one day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. I mean, if you see my body, it doesn't really seem like I could do that, but yeah.
No, that's amazing. You're amazing.
So like, I guess 75 Hard is like, people see it as like a weight loss challenge, but it's really like a mental discipline challenge.
Right.
And from that, I just learned that like everything's a mental game. I was like, I'm going to do these 100K steps. Wow. And I did it.
How long did it take?
20 hours.
Fuck.
Yes, I walked, like I had the Apple Watch going. I walked for 20 hours.
Shut up. Yeah. That is so insane.
What did your day look like?
Yeah, walking, mate.
Did you bring like snack bars to have along?
So like, okay, and this was like the day after I finished 75 Hard. So I went from like diet calorie deficit to like, I think I burnt like 8,000 calories doing the 100K steps. So like I was trying to eat as much as I could. I was basically walking around like my streets, walking around like local tracks.
Were people looking at you like, what the fuck is this guy?
Sort of, because halfway through the day it started raining.
Oh.
So I had a poncho on like covering my backpack. It just looked like it was, yeah, let's not go there.
Oh.
And then towards the end I was just like eating snakes, like lily snakes.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
While still walking.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I could not do that. So props to you.
Yeah.
Did anybody do some of it with you?
No, did it all on my own. Mm. I had like family and friends calling me throughout the day being like, you can do it.
Aww.
Yeah, but I literally gave up like 3 times throughout the day. Like I wanted to give up the whole time, but I literally gave up 3 times and like sat for like half an hour and I was like, how am I going to tell people? What am I going to say? Like, this is so embarrassing. I was like, you know what? I'll just get up and do a couple more, see how much further I can get. Until I reached the 100K. Amazing.
What time did you start and when did you go to bed?
I literally started at midnight. So like I was up the day before doing my 75th day of 75 Hard, got to like midnight, started walking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. Inspired.
Yeah, same, but I'm not going to do it.
I struggled on my 10K steps this morning.
Oh, to me it's like proof that like everything, you can achieve anything you want. You really can achieve anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to mentally set yourself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What are some of your goals for the next year?
Someone asked this as a question box on Instagram the other day and I don't know how to respond. I feel like I'm in like a crossroad of my life at the moment where I don't know what I'm doing. I've got all these different paths that I want to take. I have like a few goals that I want to achieve, but I'm going to keep them on the down low for now. But like, I feel like I'm about to take a 180 flip and no one's going to expect it.
Okay. Really? Oh my God. I'm excited. Watch this space.
Stay tuned. Yeah, no. I feel like, yeah, I'm leaning towards more an authentic online personality and probably doing more something to do with like holistic health.
Wow. Those sort of goals.
Yeah.
Amazing. On the back of that, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
On a big block of land out in bumfuck west. can we swear on this?
Yeah, I swear all the time.
with a handsome hunky man.
Oh yeah.
Kids, animals, a creek.
I can see it in my head.
Just really living like a stripped back lifestyle.
Yeah, no social media.
Yeah, literally like, I don't know, just doing meditations and art and dancing painting and cooking, just doing fun things.
Simple
like that.
Life.
Yeah, I love 100%. That. That's so what I good. Want. That's all I want. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us, Maddie.
Thank you for having me.
That's okay. Where can our listeners find you? Plug all of your socials.
So Instagram, maddie.mac.official. Twitter is Mrs. Maddie M. And what else do I link? Do I link my OF?
You can link your OF. Why not?
My OF is Maddie_M. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
To finish off this week's episode, we're doing something a little bit different, which I'm super excited for. We're going to do a little hot or not.
This is going to be fun.
They're funny.
Yeah, they're really good.
I have some thoughts on some of them.
Oh, I'm excited to hear.
Okay, the first one, I stole this from another podcast, Instagram. Maybe we can link them. I don't even know what it is. It just came off my explore page. Shaving your pubic hair after you turn 30.
This, I laughed when I saw
that. Me too. Because I'd never thought about it.
I haven't thought about that either. But also, we're not over 30. So maybe like it's something that people think about over 30. I don't know. I think that's hot.
I think not.
Why?
Just who cares? Surely by 30 you're like very comfortable in yourself. I don't want a clean shaven business.
Oh, are you talking about if they're clean shaven, the man?
I'm talking about the guy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the me.
I myself have had laser, so I'm not going to have anything ever. I feel like a lot of women are like that now.
Okay, so the man, I don't care. Yeah, I'd say
not.
Yeah, I think not. I wouldn't care. Who cares? Exactly.
Yeah, don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't bother getting like the shaving rash and cutting yourself. It's not worth it.
I mean, trimming, I would
trim
say yes.
Trim is okay. That's fine.
If it's really bushy. But I think shaving, not hot.
Not hot.
Not hot. All right. So the next one, anal, hot or not?
Hot.
Hot. I agree.
Okay. That was an easy one.
Yeah, that was easy.
But why?
Why is it hot? I think it's just fun to like explore.
I think it's naughty.
It's naughty. That's it. It's like a little bit like, oh, not a lot of people do this all the time kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's, just something different. Like it's not something you do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
I mean, sometimes.
Oh.
I'm kidding. Okay. Cat calling.
Not hot.
Not hot.
I hate it.
Especially when you're in a moving car.
Why?
If someone catcalls you from a moving car.
Oh, and you're walking.
I'm like, what are you going to achieve? You're going 80 kilometers an hour. You want me to stop and say hi?
I have something interesting to say about this because when I was like 12, 13, 14, I would get catcalled all the time in my school uniform. These days, I don't get catcalled that often.
I don't either.
Isn't that gross though?
You know what? I get catcalled less here than in Newcastle.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say the same about Melbourne. I got catcalled more down there than up here.
I think up here, like even going for a walk this morning in just like a sports bra and shorts, whatever, everyone is just so much more like shows off more skin and more confident.
It's more normal.
Whereas in Newcastle, if you're on a walk along the like main strip, just like Burley here, it's 50% young people in booty shorts and 50% older people.
Yeah, that's so true.
So you get a bit of both.
Yeah.
But still catcalling is not hot.
No. Okay. Next one. Hot or not? Bondage.
I'm not into it.
I don't like it either. I say not.
That was too easy.
Yeah.
I just don't care for it. What's the point?
I don't. Yeah. I'm just, it's a bit like, eh. Doesn't really add anything for me.
Yeah. I would do it like for work. to film.
Same.
Like for something different to try.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that I've done in my personal life in years.
Yeah, neither. I agree.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah. What about watching your significant other get themselves off?
Not
hot.
Yeah.
I don't even know why anyone would think that was hot.
I agree.
That's probably a bit ignorant of me, but.
I think men like to watch women get themselves off. That's generalization. I don't know if that's true. I've just put that out there. But I've heard that that can be the case. Obviously, with what we do for work, they must enjoy it.
But it's not your partner.
Oh, so you're talking, okay, so we're talking, oh, significant other. Oh, right, yeah, sorry, I read that wrong. I think if it's your significant other and you're sitting in a room together and one of them is just touching themselves, that's not.
I think only acceptable if it was long distance or for some reason you had to and that's your only way of like having.
Like FaceTime or something.
Yeah, like an intimate time.
Yeah, but I think generally not.
If you're in the room together, just
have sex.
Yeah, help each other out.
Yeah, agreed. A guy who wears a lot of cologne.
Too much is not hot.
I think not hot as well.
Men's colognes are so strong.
They're so strong. And you know when someone walks into the room and straight away you can just smell it and not it's hot. So strong and you're just like, oh.
Too much.
It's too much. They're trying too hard.
Any more than like 3 sprays, I think, is that's too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're savage.
We are.
This is kind of similar to the first one, but manscaping.
Yeah, but that's also like, I think you can talk about like, you know, eyebrow trimming and
needs to happen.
You think?
Yeah. I like men with waxed eyebrows.
I see. I would say not hot.
But then it depends.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just like picturing a guy with like really manicured, like.
No, not too manicured. I have to tweeze my boyfriend's eyebrows in between here.
Yeah, I feel but like underneath that's
fine. Won't let me touch.
Yeah. I think it depends the degree of it. If it's like really. Yeah.
He actually taught me something the other week about men's shaving that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you can, or you should, according to my boyfriend, cut in here.
What do you mean?
Like if you, even if you grow a beard here, he thinks that it needs to be clean under on your neck.
Right.
And I didn't know that this was a thing. I didn't know. I just thought you're either shaved or you're not shaved. Yeah. I didn't know there was like different levels that you could
go to.
And apparently some guys use this hair down here to like cover up if they've got holding a bit of water.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, he admitted it. He's like, yeah, sometimes if I'm a bit fatter, I just will just have let it grow down. I'm like, oh, okay.
I wish we could do that.
Manscaping is hot.
Okay. I think to a certain degree, hot. I think if you're too manicured, not.
If he's got better eyebrows than you, then yes, not hot. Okay. That's it. Is that the line?
That's the line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Shopping centers or shopping malls.
I don't really get this one.
Okay. Well, I think it's like a lot of people think shopping centers are outdated. Are they like, because remember when they used to be the place to be?
To hang out when we were like teenagers.
Yeah.
Not cool to hang out.
They're not cool to hang out.
Not hot.
See, I think hot because I love shopping centres.
I love shopping. But and like, from working in one. And you worked in one too.
I worked in one, yeah.
I worked in shopping centres for 5 years.
Yeah. And then I worked in shopping centre marketing as well. So I was also in a shopping centre for ages. And it was fun and I really enjoyed it. And every time I go to a shopping centre, I love it.
Yeah.
It's like an experience.
I really like the ones up here compared to home.
I know, yeah. Much better.
So much better.
Yeah.
I think hot, but don't. Hang out for more than 3 hours.
No, sometimes, and I love Anna Paul, but when I see her going there for like lunch or dinner, I'm kind of like, I think there's better places to go than a shopping center. It. Yeah.
Because it's all just like big chain restaurants, isn't it?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm like, that's not hot. But
so it's both.
Yeah.
Sometimes hot.
Yeah.
Sports cars.
Not hot.
Depends.
Are you a car girl or not really?
I don't really care for cars, but if you're going to buy a – I mean, I didn't do this, so I'm contradicting myself. If you're going to buy a sports car, just go all out.
I agree.
None of this like medium
don't
level
get a
shit.
Toyota that looks sort of like a sports
car.
Like, I hate when people do that. There's no point.
No.
Just get a Lamborghini.
I know someone who has one that's really bad.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Toyota one.
Oh.
It's all right. He likes it.
Well, that's good then.
If you have a Lamborghini, hot. If it's not,
yeah.
Just save your money until you can get something better.
I agree with that. So no, not.
I needed a new car and I wasn't ready for my dream car, so I had to go in the middle.
Yeah, you were forced.
I could have got the dream car, but I probably too irresponsible.
Yeah, and also, you know, bit of a waste of money with cars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, skinny jeans. I know what I think.
I don't know. They're not trendy.
I think not hot.
But some people can't wear baggy jeans.
No, I think fitted is very different to skinny jeans.
Like tight, tight skinny
tight,
jeans.
Tight, like you can see every muscle and bump in their leg. And
what
like
if they're a gym bro?
Really skinny. Oh, no, I don't like it. When they have the skinny leg thing at the bottom, it's like, no, it needs to be a straight cut.
Wait, that the lines?
Oh, and the lines, oh, the
they're
ribs?
Called like moto lines, like motorbike lines.
I hate them.
You know, General Pants still stocks them.
Illegal.
The brand called Standard still brings them out every year.
No. Well, obviously people buy them because I see them all the time. And yeah, I'm like, you shouldn't
be
wearing
Newcastle.
Those.
Don't worry.
Oh, God.
They're coming in don't tell buying me, those moto jeans.
Don't tell me your partner wears them.
No, he has.
Okay, good.
He has fitted jeans.
Fitted jeans are
imagine
fine.
Imagine human baggy jeans.
No, but that's what I mean. There's a fine line between fitted jeans and skinny jeans, I think. Skinny jeans are like basically like leggings and they're so tight.
No, they're not like that.
I think fitted jeans are the way to go.
Fit, they're fitted. They're not
yeah.
skinny. Okay, skinny jeans not hot.
No.
Especially
I'm like
not
forced
with
to that one. Yeah.
Nudity in change rooms.
What does that mean? Like, oh, like if you're in a public change yeah. room and people just get naked. I think not hot.
Not hot.
I don't like it. I never have.
It's awkward for everyone.
I'm like, yeah, if you go to the gym especially and there's someone that's just naked, I just feel weird. And it's not, I'm not judging them. I just feel, I don't know what to do.
There's, at home, there's like the ocean baths and there's always elderly people swimming early in the morning. And I go for a walk and I swim early in the morning. So I went into the change rooms the other day and there was just too much 80-plus-year-old women boobs in my face.
Oh.
Three of them and they're just sitting there having a conversation. I'm like... Guys,
look, I say good on them for being confident and happy with themselves, but I think when you're in a public change room, it's just, yeah, it's more just.
It's not hot.
Yeah.
I'll probably do it though.
When I'm 80, I'll probably do it too because, yeah, like, who cares?
I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But in your, but not, younger than that?
No.
80 is the cutoff. When you're over 80, you can do it.
Yeah, true. The word moist.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it either. In fact, I love it.
There you go. It's hot. It's That's hot. An easy one.
Yeah.
Kissing on the first date.
Not hot.
Not hot.
Mm-mm. You agree?
I agree.
Perfect.
Not hot.
Not a lot of people agree with me on that. I always say I never kiss on the first date.
Weird. You don't know if they're into you.
Yeah. You don't know if you're into them. But you also, they're a stranger. I don't care if you've been on that date for 6 hours. You don't know that person. You don't know if you have a connection with them yet.
They could still be lying about everything.
I agree. I'm with you there.
It's not hot.
No, not hot.
It's very weird and makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too. Adults wearing hoodies. Have you put this in there? Because I have one.
I have one too, but I've worn it twice ever.
Yeah, same. Me too.
They're not that great, I don't think.
I think not hot.
Not hot.
I think if you're wearing it home alone and no one's seeing you, do your thing. But if there's people around and you're posting about it on social media, it's not hot.
I saw someone on a motorbike wearing one.
That is definitely not hot.
A Harry Potter one.
That's kind of hot.
Not hot, although not hot. I have one, but I don't wear it. So
same.
There's the answer.
Yeah. Slogan shirts.
I have writing on mine, but
that's
it's not
a slogan.
No.
Yeah.
Why does JJ still make them?
Do they still make them? How are they still in business?
I don't know. Probably be the same people buying the moto jeans again. Matching shirts.
Oh my God. Hot. I'm glad we're doing this because people need to know this stuff is not hot.
We're probably going to lose half of our followers.
Yeah. Or they'll change their wardrobes.
Yeah. We're just helping you guys out.
Yeah, exactly.
This one I had to put in because I have thoughts.
Okay.
Private Instagrams.
I'm going to say not hot because I'm a stalker.
Yeah, not hot. Yeah. I don't get it. What are you hiding?
What are you hiding from everyone? No one cares anyway. Except for me.
Are we just like next level stalkers?
Yeah.
I don't like it and it frustrates me. Especially when it's someone like, I've just met you at the gym and I'm like, oh, I'm going to follow her. She was really nice. And I'm like, why are you on private?
Yeah. It's like,
sounds awkward. Why do I have to ask to be your friend?
Yeah. And then what? What if they don't accept? That's so, and it's just more awkward when they're on public and you request, they always follow you back. Like, it's fine. But I agree. There's just,
it's weird.
And when I do request someone, I feel like I'm anxiously waiting for them to accept me into their lives.
It's weird and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And like, most of the time, even if I know you, if you're on private, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah. True.
The only reason it is acceptable, if you work for the government and you have to for some reason be private,
mm-hmm.
or people in our position, if for some reason we needed an Instagram for our families,
yes.
which I don't.
Yeah, I've got a private one just for family and friends. Yeah.
I just like text all my family.
Yeah.
Or they just see the public one, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're the only exceptions if for some reason you have to. But if you don't have a job where people can't know you.
Yeah. Well, that's the other one, teaching. A lot of the time with teaching, they have their stuff on private, which is fair enough. But other than that, it's not hard.
Just turn it off private.
Yeah, you're embarrassing yourselves.
Thank you for listening, guys. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram and subscribe on Spotify and Apple.
If there's anything you want us to discuss, make sure you send us an email or a DM on Instagram. All our socials are doubledose.thepodcast.
And we'll talk to you next week. Double dose.